Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 83 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer.
Hello. Wow, at least I gave a greeting. I'm just Hoffer grunted.
I am just going to stop introducing you guys.
I do a nice, if you're watching the video, you'll always appreciate the consistency of my hand gesture. At least I give a word of greeting. Hoffer just grunts 9 out of 10.
I was trying to think of I don't know how we became gradually less enthusiastic because we're actually like pretty pleasant and excitable people on this podcast, but I like the, the antithesis of that during our openings, and I couldn't figure out of a lower bar to set than that. That means that everything we do from here on out will be seen as more exciting. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
We're a Pokemon show. We talk about all things Pokemon because we love Pokemon. We talk about the games, the anime, and everything in between. And we're getting to the holiday season, end of the year kind of thing, and so news is getting a little dry, but things are still happening. And
I brought a juicy scoop. No one has reported on it before today. Before I posted it earlier today. Well, I guess yesterday by the time people listen to
this. Well, let's start with that then.
Breaking news, Jim. Breaking news.
Again. Charizard card?
No, actually, the Charizard special delivery card did get officially revealed. It did it was made official. I think either yesterday or today, but no, that's not the breaking news. The breaking news is the smoke surrounding the Pokemon 2021 game, there's a lot of it, and the latest news to come out of it, if you've been following the show, you know that we've been talking about all these rumors. I mean, of course, there's going to be a Pokemon game coming out just the next year. It's the 25th anniversary, and the Pokemon company really likes money. But just yesterday, the Pokemon company has started hiring localizers for short-term contracts. Whenever they do that, literally 100% accuracy, means that a Pokemon game, they're in the final steps of preparing a Pokemon game. So these short-term localization contracts are designed to take the finished Japanese game, retranslate it, make all the corny jokes make sense in English, or whatever language they're translating it to, get some of the cultural nuances figured out. And not only are they doing that for the games themselves, but they're also hiring a short-term video producer to localize Japanese promotional videos, aka the Japanese promotional videos that gets released on a bi-weekly basis when they are working on a new Pokemon game and are building up to its release. So very strong evidence that a Pokemon game is coming in 2021. Don't know what it is yet, but we are about as certain as we can be that games are coming.
So when can I expect to get an actual Pokemon Snap trailer?
Well,
that's what I'm hearing is at least part of this has to be because of Pokemon Snap. I refuse to believe otherwise.
So here's the interesting thing about it is, we genuinely do not know because, the question is, are all these jobs for a main series game? I'm speculating that it's tied into some sort of main series game, whether that's a remake or a brand new game of some kind, more so than Pokemon Snap. Because I don't even know, do we know if it's the Pokemon company that's directly developing Pokemon Snap, or is it a third-party company? I'll be honest, I haven't super followed the recent Pokemon Snap stuff at all. So I don't know even who's developing that. If it is actually the Pokemon company/Game Freak, or if it is like a third party, because like for stuff like Pokemon Unite, for instance,
I don't even think they said, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to think if they, I mean, I know in that first kind of debut trailer, I mean, we didn't get hardly any information. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, good.
So glory of the internet. It says
the new Pokemon Snap is being developed by Bandai Namco.
So there you go.
See, that's what I had suspected. I just wasn't completely sure of that.
So if it's Bandai Namco, you know, Bandai Namco has their own localizers.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing. It's like the other possibility is that they're hiring out all these people for Detective Pikachu 2, which is developed by Creatures, which is technically separate from the Pokemon company, but, you know, is... you know, one of the key stakeholders in the Pokemon company. So that's also a possibility, but that seems like a little bit of overkill for Detective Pikachu 2. So everyone's guessing that actually this is for the next Pokemon game. And we know it's coming. To answer your question, Megan, I'm guessing we will get more Pokemon Snap news in February 2021.
Yeah, for Pokemon.
That's all I care about, honestly, at this point.
That's right. We just need news. look, what we need is we need the Pokemon Company to set up an event like DC Fandom or, you know, what we're getting with the Disney Investor Day, where we're going to get a whole bunch of other stuff coming out. I need a Pokemon of live streamed event that is longer than... like on the longer side of their, a little bit longer than their directs.
Jim, we have sat through together the last time they tried one of those, and it was one of the most baffling things
that we've ever sat through. Yeah, they brought like all of these people to Japan for this press conference, and it was the most.
And they like dressed up the stage and everything.
And they used
we thought something big was coming.
Pokemon Sleep.
Yep.
So yeah, like let's not,
which we still don't have yet, right?
No,
no one has asked. They're probably developing Pokemon Eat right now. It's a dietary, you know.
Yeah.
Plan.
So we got, because didn't we get? I'm trying to think what all came out of that. Pokemon Home was the big, was one big announcement. There's Pokemon Sleep, more Pokemon original Stitch shirts. And I think that's it.
You know, all the hottest news that you could ever want. And it's like, Pokemon Company.
And didn't they announce the DLC? Wasn't that where they announced that they were going to develop DLC? Or am I I honestly cannot keep track of all these.
I don't think that's where that happened. Because that would have actually been nice.
Okay. Let's pull up Pokemon Sleep. I like that we're just like, you know what? We don't know these things immediately. But
well, I'd rather us fact check than to be just spewing out something stupid, because we will get caught out on it, and I don't want that for the holidays.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that for you.
Oh, Pokemon Masters was the other one.
Oh, right. Oh, you mean the greatest Pokemon game to ever be released, right?
That game is still around. It still has its fans and its players, and
Does it?
It's one of those things that, like, honestly, I see enough people streaming it on Twitch, and I'm like, oh, okay. I guess there are. I don't think it's nearly as big as they hoped it would be, or we hoped it would be, or whatever. But you know, it's sticking around. I mean, it'll probably end up facing a tragic Pokemon Duels fate, but it's fine.
It'll join the graveyard. We really need to make like a diorama.
I miss Pokemon Duels.
We need to like a diorama graveyard of all the Pokemon things that have died during this during our podcast tenure.
Well, making a jump from mobile games that we know are crazy successful, Pokemon Go.
This news, I'm surprised that the story isn't as you know, people are not realizing how big of a deal this is. So this is the Pokemon Go Tour. So this week, I just wrote about it last week. So there is a new ticketed event in the style of what they did for Pokemon Go Fest called Pokemon Go Tour Kanto. It will take place in February of 2021, and it will give players the opportunity to get shiny versions of all 151 core Pokemon. the key there is that I said all 151 original Pokemon. This means that I believe this will be the first time that Shiny Mew will be available outside of Japan, period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly certain of that fact. And it has been, if I remember correctly, is the first time since 2008 that it has been available, period. I'm double checking. Yes, this is the first time that it's been legitimately available internationally, mm-hmm. Ever.
Yeah.
First time since 2005, so 15 years, 16 years by the time this happens, that someone outside of Japan has been able to get it. That's huge.
Yeah.
That in and of itself justifies the $12 price tag, in my opinion.
Yes. Plus, I really am just a fan of, just like a side note, of the key art they released for this, Kanto tour, because it has like Charizard and it has all the Kanto Pokemon. But if you enhance and zoom to like the bottom right corner, you'll see an invisible Mew in a bush. Mm-hmm. And it's like, show me my child. Like, I see him. He's right there. And then I feel bad for him because all the rest of the Pokemon are like gathered together except for Snorlax, who's napping in the back. And Mew's just like off to the back, just like, I want to have friends. And it's like, well, I'm going to catch you and then we'll be best friends.
So this how this event will work, it's a 12-hour ticketed event, so you have to pay $12 to get a ticket, 12 US dollars, whatever that translates to in your country. It's a 12-hour event. There's going to be two different experiences, a red version and a green version, both of which offer basically different Pokemon that will appear via incense, and along with different types of Pokemon that you have an increased chance of finding shiny forms of. It sounds like they're ratcheting up the shiny rates for a lot of Pokemon, adding a few new shiny variants that weren't previously available. Kanto legendary Pokemon, so the legendary birds and Mewtwo, will be available to battle in gyms, and they all have limited time moves. These were moves that were like previously available during different raid days, but they're coming back. So it's like Psy Strike from Mewtwo. I think Sky Attack from Moltres. A couple of those are like really good move sets. But some of your goals will be to get all 150 Pokemon during this 12-hour period. You'll have to trade with other players who have the other version to get them all. Once you complete, basically there's a two tiers of special events or special research. The first one is meant to be completed over the course of the event. And once that is complete, it will unlock a second special research, which is meant to take a quote unquote long time to complete. And that will culminate with a shiny Mew encounter.
Dang. That's involved, but like worth the price. Look, I mean, involved.
If you want your shiny Mew, you gotta work.
Yeah, well, but like, it's going to be $12. I'm glad that there's going to be a lot of content to have to push through.
Yeah, well, and I think that, you know, as we know, Niantic has been increasingly monetizing Pokemon Go. And this is two-tier reasons, I think. And this is speculation on my part. But one, Niantic's follow-up games have not really had the impact that Pokemon Go has made. Harry Potter, Wizards Unite, they were like, yeah, we're finally releasing a feature that all our players want. And like, I was like, what, all three of them?
Yikes.
Now that the game is 5 years old, the sponsorship money that, you know, Niantic was using to kind of like partially monetize this is, I don't think it is as prevalent. I mean, they did just get the sponsorship deal with Verizon. Mm-hmm. And they still have one, I believe, for Starbucks. So there are still companies that are participating in this, but I just think that they are, you know, turning to these big ticketed events, which they seem to do now. They have one that they do with every community day. They seem to be doing these more often, and this one is going to do bonkers. It is, you know, legitimately one of the biggest things to happen in the Pokemon franchise in a while. I mean, now the only thing is, I'm kind of curious, can you actually transfer Shiny Mew into the main series game? Because I think that the...
They won't make it easy.
Like, I can't remember what the transporter cost is for a mythical shiny Pokemon.
Yeah, it's going to cost you some. Moolah. Again, money on money.
But yeah, it is interesting.
That's fine. People just breed and clone them, and then there will be millions.
You can't.
There will be many.
Because it's Pokemon. It's because, you know, it's from Pokemon Go to Pokemon Home, and I don't think they've figured out a way of spoofing that legitimately. Now there are ways of, you know, after the fact, you can technically. There's ways of hacking it using the 3DS, because, you know, a lot of these Pokemon come from like 3DSs, and there's ways of, you know, using hacks in Pokemon Switch, but this is for mobile games. So, you know, I think that it's going to be pretty hard to get still. But who knows? You know, the ingenuity of hackers never ceases to amaze me, so I'm sure they'll figure it out 2 hours after this event.
If you get a shiny Mew the right way, let us know. We want to celebrate with you.
Yeah.
As much as I will try, that is very much that is a commitment to try and get that. All right. Let's see. Where do we want to go? Let's continue on the Pokemon Go train. Those Kalos starters.
What Kalos I starters?
See. Okay. So here's the thing. I see Finnegan quite a bit in my backyard. Chespin, I see a little bit, but I do not see Froakie at all. I don't think I've seen Froakie yet. And I have ventured to try and if I'm going to the grocery store, or I'm going to places where I know, you know, people are going to be using lures or whatever. Like, I have not found a Froakie yet.
Yes. I stalled out in my Kalos celebration event on trying to catch a Chespin. Could not find one.
Really?
One popped up on my radar. Once, and that was it. Fennekin I was able to find, it was a little bit rough.
Megan, how are they by you?
I just checked mine. Unless I use a lure or anything like that, nothing shows up where I live. I have not seen literally any of the starters. I've seen Fennekin pop up in the nearby area, but I never locate them. Now, I live in more of a suburban rural area, but nothing. Even when I go like you said, go to stores and get some stuff, but nothing. There's nothing. Mm-mm. I'm sad. I'm having terrible luck at all.
Well, I mean, you're not alone, because
I did just find a Chimchar though. Not what I was looking for, but I'll take it.
I am seeing is being a point of contention for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of folks just be annoyed, frustrated. And this happens from time to time where, you know, they will roll out some new Pokemon. The spawn rates aren't exactly what everyone would like, or they're not, you know, sometimes they take time to adjust, and I imagine we will get there. It's just weird when it's tied to an event with, tasks to do that they were not showing up as much as one would expect. So,
Quick question, not on our script, but did we talk about the shiny Celebi event last week? Then Pokemon Go?
No.
So that was another thing that broke over the weekend. I totally forgot about it because it kind of got overshadowed by the Pokemon Go tour. Shiny Celebi is getting special research too to celebrate the release of the upcoming Pokemon movie on Christmas Day over in Japan. So they're doing a big Pokemon Coco tie-in event, and that's going to be our second half of December event. That comes with special research that will get you a shiny Celebi. So they've either announced or released three shiny mythical Pokemon over the last month, which is pretty wild when you think about it. If you count, you know, Melmetal, because Meltan, they did the shiny Meltan event, which means that you could also get a shiny Melmetal. It's four. And Jesse and James will be coming back, and they're kind of leading the shiny Celebi special research. So yeah, look forward to that here. That starts next week, actually.
Cool. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk through some more headlines and then jump into our deep dive, which is going to be all about Pokemon Journeys. All right, on talking about shiny Pokemon, keeping that train rolling, the Pokemon trading card game has announced Shining Fates. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Mm-hmm. This is it.
And
that
for
shiny,
one...
That, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and for $100, I will get a Shining Fates booster pack, and I will burn it live on Twitch. Without looking to see what's in it. $100.
Wow.
It'll be this is we've talked about. So the card that everyone obviously is going to want is the
shiny Bulbasaur.
Nope, is the shiny VMAX Charizard. It's VMAX, right? Not the shiny.
Yeah,
V,
it's the shiny Charizard
V VMAX. The shiny VMAX Charizard. Charizard gonna Charizard.
That's an accurate description.
Yep, that is. It is going to be the hot thing. So this set will have over 100 shiny Pokemon included in it. Obviously, the big one is going to be the shiny Charizard V. But you know, there's going to be some other stuff involved. They're releasing like a premium box, which has these like alternate gold versions of Zacian and Zamazenta, which look awesome. They're super cool. I really encourage you to check them out. This is going to be like basically they have realized that the stuff like the Shining Legends, the Champion's Path, these all sell like hotcakes. Let's do an oversized one for the 25th anniversary. Also, they are it is confirmed that they will be doing some sort of 25th anniversary Pokemon trading card set. We don't know what the anniversary set is yet, like what the gimmick is, because the 20th anniversary was Generations, which had the reprints of the old Pokemon cards, along with some random cards from Japan. This one is going to be a full-blown, expansion set. So we'll see how that turns out, but we know that because retailers leaked it. So lots of big Pokemon TCG news coming out here.
Yep. I mean, look, there's more attention on it than ever. So I am glad. I mean, look, they've always been good about keeping on a regular schedule for a new product, and it'll be interesting to see how they blow it up big for an anniversary year for sure. All right, one last thing before we go to Pokemon Journeys. If you are in the market for the most adorable... Dragapult is a very popular Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Are there people who have been dying for a oversized Dragapult plush? I don't know. But now that I've seen one, I love it. And it's amazing. So the Pokemon Center store has released a big, it's an oversized Dragapult plush that comes with removable Dreepies in its, cannon holder spots, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's one of those cool collectibles that you don't realize you need until it shows up and you go, yep, nope, I need it.
Yeah,
holding out for the Metapod sleeping bag, but this Dragapult plush is up on my list.
So it is. It's really interesting, what they are choosing to do these mega size ones. Like everyone fell in love with this Dragapult plush mainly because of the photos that went along with it, and people are like, oh, this is adorable. I don't know why they're using Dragapult, but I'm not complaining too much. It's of course because all cool things only come out in Japan. This is Japan only, mm-hmm. but still pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Pokemon Journeys. New episodes are out on Netflix. This is our third batch of episodes. Mm-hmm. And this batch has the episode that we love, featuring Magikarp.
Definitely the weirdest effing thing I've ever seen out of a Pokemon game.
It's so weird. I loved it.
Oh, but it's so good.
Absolutely, right. Just bizarre. So bizarre.
Okay, so for those who may have missed the episode the first time we talked about it, who wants to give us the TLDR very quick synopsis for it?
Megan, why don't you take this?
No, I did it last time. I want to see the Hoffer's version.
The Hoffer retelling.
So yeah. It starts off as a two-part episode. The first part is Go murders his Magikarp by launching him into space. And one of the most hilarious sequences, like, so me, my son, and my wife, we're watching this episode on like random Sunday morning. And like basically it's a Pokemon jumping contest or a Magikarp jumping contest, similar to the Magikarp Jump mobile game. And basically Go trains his Magikarp. At the end of it, when it comes to the finals, Go reveals that Magikarp actually was wearing weights, kind of like the very iconic scene in Naruto, where Rock Lee is facing off against Gaara, and he drops his ankle weights and they explode on the ground. It's a very similar moment to that. So Magikarp jumps so high, he actually enters orbit, and they all think that Magikarp is dead. Like, legitimately, that's how the first half of the episode ends, with them, they are crying over Magikarp dying. They then go to a Slowpoke Island to catch a Slowpoke, and through a series of misadventures, Ash, Go, and their partner Pokemon all take turns wearing a Slowking Shellder helmet, which transforms, you know, basically merges their personality and turns them into Slowkings, in a matter of speaking, in which they are claiming that they are, you know, a Slowpoke master or a protector of all Slowpokes, and they take turns kicking it around, and it is only ended by Magikarp re-entering the atmosphere and blasting the Shellder back onto the Slowking's head. Definitely the weirdest thing I think I've ever watched.
And Magikarp is indestructible. Like, I never really thought of it before, but like, The fact that Magikarp, survived, period. But then re-entered orbit and didn't burn up coming into the atmosphere, didn't just become like fried fish, immediately makes this Magikarp the toughest thing I've ever seen. Now I need to see it become Gyarados, because it will probably become the most powerful Pokemon ever birthed into the world.
I got nothing. The whole thing is just...
Also, Ash being possessed by the Shellder and to become Slowking was in the Japanese version, it's hilarious. But hearing it in the English dub, I was just like cackling. It was amazing. This was a great, great drop of episodes. I mean, we got Dragonite, we got a bunch of stuff, and it ends, I believe the last episode is like the Clash of the Titans. So like Ash and Go are able to see kind of like a big world championship battle, so we get to see some nice Leon stuff, which I'm sure made Hoffer just all tingly inside. But it was a great drop of episodes.
So I have an admission to make.
You didn't watch it?
No. I don't agree with many of his decisions.
Whose?
But Go is starting to grow on me.
Oh no! What happened? You were on
No. Now listen, and I think, and it's weird because I'm interested to see what you have to say, because I'm interested to see, Christian, what does your son think about Go?
He hates him. He thinks he's really just, he's annoying.
My daughter thinks that he is hysterical.
He doesn't have a real strong opinion on Go. Yeah. Other than, like, you know, the guy kind of takes up space that should go to Ash and Pikachu. Because basically, like, whenever there's a Go-centric episode, my son's eyes glaze over.
That's so weird because Nora, for me, and seeing it, and I just asked her, I was like, what do you like? What do you like about, you know, Go? And, you know, the, him... She takes great delight in the fact that, like he is collecting or like, you know, just catching Pokemon, right? Because it's because she loves playing, she loves playing Pokemon Go. And so to her, like this is like, and we've said this before, right? Like Go feels like it, represents a Go Pokemon Go style player. And like we said it, and you know, when it was what it was, but like to actually like see it, I'm like, it makes a ton of sense. And so it's just been interesting to see the show her like just through her eyes and how you know kind of she's experienced. Like she still loves Pikachu, she still loves Ash, but like she legit giggles when Go does pretty stupid stuff, right? And so it's been interesting, and so it's had me come around more.
So you know that kind of makes sense, because my son recently, like we're talking like basically since quarantine started, has been really interested in Pokemon battles, and also like the nurturing aspect of Pokemon. Like he likes mm-hmm. to like, he has like a ton of Pokemon plushes, and he likes, you know, to put them to bed. He likes playing with them. He likes feeding them. He likes doing a lot of things that Ash does with his small group of Pokemon that mm-hmm. Go doesn't, yeah. You know, and I think that is like the big difference, is that, you know, he is very interested in the relationship between trainers and mm-hmm. Pokemon, you know, and different aspects to it too. I mean, he's a little boy, so of course he's going to like the Pokemon battles. Yeah. But you know, he's also interested in that, like the relationship. And you know, I'm not saying that Go doesn't have those sort of relationships. Yeah. Because, you know, you know, Go certainly has that with Reboot, mm-hmm. but that's it. That's all he has. Sure. You know, whereas Ash, you see him, Gengar and Dragonite and Riolu, all have multiple appearances in this like slot of episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, you don't see that with Go. And so I think that's the difference, is that, you know, for my son, who's, you know, very much likes the strong relationship between trainer and Pokemon, that's not present with Go to nearly the same extent that Ash does.
It's funny for me, because my daughter has gotten very much into Barbies, and we have been building those model kits, and the model kits are basically like the perfect size for the Barbies to have them as Pokemon, basically. Oh, and so all of her Barbies are Pokemon trainers now, and they each have their own main Pokemon. So one of the Barbies has the Gengar, one has Charizard, one has Pikachu, and it is,
oh my gosh,
funniest thing I have ever.
I know, this is confession time. I did that, but I did that with Bratz dolls, like those dolls that didn't have feet, and I had like those Burger King really plastic cheap toys you would get kids meals, and just like Lisa had Charizard, Charmander, Barbie had Bulbasaur, and I forget who I gave Squirtle, but I guess that's just a nerdy girl thing. Dolls, Pokemon, trainers.
That's so amazing. So anyway, if you haven't seen the new batch of Journeys episode yet, or if you haven't watched Journeys in general, I mean, it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have Netflix. Check them out. They really are a lot of fun. I like the style of adventure more in this than the mm-hmm. more location centric, you know, the focused mm-hmm. series, you know, like you're basically your traditional series. And so this has been a lot of fun to kind of like, you know, romp around the world of Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So like I said, if you have not, definitely check it out and let us know what your favorite episodes are. Definitely check out the Magikarp episode, because it's something special.
And I will say this, Twitch, the Pokemon official Twitch channel, it just announced late last night that it is starting to add the Pokemon anime to its schedule. So it'll be starting this week, it will be regularly airing different seasons and episodes and series of the Pokemon anime. So this week, it's on yesterday and on Thursday, so the day that you're listening to this podcast, it'll be airing some episodes on the Twitch channel, so you can go check those out for free. Just have something to play if you're working from home or in the office, you just want to listen to something. It's a super fun way to do it. So A plus for Twitch, getting that out to the world.
Yeah, they're finally doing regular, like, you know, so it used to be that they only used the Twitch channels to air tournaments.
Competitions.
But now they are doing regular programming. So it is right now, it's a mix of competitions and anime, but I would not be surprised if they started releasing more content as, you know, more and more brands seem to be moving towards Twitch to promote their stuff.
Yeah, so go follow. It'll be great.
Cool. I didn't realize I was not following them, so I just did. So there you go. Learn something new.
There you go.
Every day. Well, it's just funny because, like, I've mentioned this to a few people. I used to have TV shows like kind of playing in the background as I work, and then I kind of like ran out of stuff that I would like care about having on in the background or whatever. So I've just been letting Twitch play in the background in the TV I've got in my office, and it's been a lot of fun. So. Anyway, go follow the Pokemon Company on Twitch. So, Christian, why don't you give us the Pokemon fact of the week and we can get out of here.
All right. So, you know, we have spoken about in the past how Mega Evolutions are actually terrible. And the latest evidence of this comes from the Mega Scizor, who melts if he remains in his Mega Evolved form too long.
That's What?
Yep. He literally melts. His steel form cannot maintain the energy from Mega Evolution. And so if you want to beat a Mega Scizor, you simply need to wait out the clock for it to dissolve into a pile of molten metal.
Excuse me, what?
That seems a bit...
That seems a little bit too much.
I mean, is it any worse than, like, you know, the Pokemon that detach their jaws when they become Mega Evolved? it's defined as just being terrible for Pokemon. And, you know, Pokemon Sun and Moon went out of their way to be like, yep, Scizor will die if you keep it Mega Evolved. You will kill your Scizor. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Now I see why we want to do Z moves.
We've talked about this for we talked about this a bit when we were talking about Mega Evolved Pokemon in general, where, like, to me, Scizor is I love the Scyther design, and I love Scyther as a Pokemon. I think it's cool, and, you know, all that stuff. And so to see him go from, you know, Scyther to Scizor, I'm like, okay. But then, but like that Mega Scizor design, though, is something else.
You know, I continuously forget that Mega Scizor is a thing because, you know, up until Pokemon Sword and Shield, I never had a Scizor because, you know, it was one of those Pokemon that was exclusively available that you had to trade with a component. Yep. And it's like, you know, it's very hard unless you have two Game Boys somebody who is just as much into Pokemon as you are to find a trading partner like that in the modern era. Now, and there are ways of getting around that. Like, nowadays, you know, it's very transactional. Like, you can certainly find somebody. So I continuously forgot about it until, like, basically I was doing the research while writing the script for this episode. I was like, oh yeah, Mega Scizor. Oh my God, what the sweet Jesus.
That's horrifying. I was just reading that even, like, normally it overheats, but its wings is what helps, like, when it flies and it's the wing movement is what helps it regulate temperature. But when it's Mega, fans, basically. Yeah. But when it's Mega Evolved, it's so hot at that point. There's nothing that can stop it. So that is a horrifying fact.
So does it just turn into basically a robot?
It basically, it's just because it moves so fast. You know, it's like friction off its steel energy. As Megan's cat seems to be getting into some mischief.
Yes, that is. So I have it. Now this is related. In our guest bedroom, we have a line of, like, Pokemon figures, and our cat just loves to jump on that shelf and bat every single Pokemon off. So it turns out my cat is the true Pokemon champion here.
But yeah, no, So I've always been a fan of Scyther. I think it's a pretty cool Pokemon. You know, I'm disappointed that it's another one of those, like, you know, it seems like the further you get into the Pokedex for those original 150, the less interesting they become in Pokedex entries. And Scyther...
Well, you hit... Well, it's one of those things that, like, especially in that original 150, there is a skid of them that it's like, yeah. they just designed, made them and put them out there and didn't really put much thought into them. And then when you get towards the tail end, it's like, oh, okay, we care again, because that's when you get back into, obviously, we'll get to Legendary Birds and Mewtwo and whatever. And so, like, it always feels like that stretch of, like, maybe 5 to 10 Pokemon before you get to, like, you know, the legendaries or whatever, in any Pokedex have just kind of that, like, well, they're here. They exist.
Yep. Here is one fact that we will continue to parrot. They don't have the seem to have the deep Pokemon Pokedex lore that other species do. And Scyther kind of suffers from that too. I mean, it's very fast. It has very sharp it's very sharp blades. And then Scizor chomps things, and that's like all you get up until the Mega Evolutions. And then it's like, yeah, oh, by the way, it risks the, it might, spontaneously combust. It's like,
yeah, it's just a little, it's basic, right? It's like Pinsir in that way, where those Pokemon don't necessarily need a pre-evolved form of those, but maybe would have benefited from that in a way. We get Scizor, from Scyther, but there's a few of those like that. And like the same thing happened with like Electabuzz and Magmar were nothing special, but again, like I said, there's just some of those that just exist and didn't have any other forms until they built around them.
But out of
all of them, they gave Electabuzz and Magmar baby forms, and I would have expected one for Scyther, but they still have not.
I'm trying to imagine baby Scyther, and it just is really. It would be so adorable. Image.
Have you seen baby praying really mantises? Though they're like the tiniest little things, and they're so freaking cute.
I know, but I'm trying to imagine that. But then with giant like wing blades, like, oh, you're cute. You could still kill me, but you're cute. But that's a lot of. That's a lot of things.
So ahead, from a a game design standpoint, I think part of the issue is that the Pokedex is kind of designed like, especially the original one, it gets filled the further and further you progress. And so like outside of like Dragonite, a lot of those like later Pokemon are designed to be high level Pokemon. And they went back and kind of fixed that with, Magby and Elekid, where it's like, oh yeah, these are baby Pokemon. And then people are like, baby Pokemon suck. which is like, well,
they're wrong.
They're cute, but they're absolutely useless. Literally the most useless Pokemon in existence.
Not unless you just you care about nurture, which you were just talking about.
My son cares about nurturing. There's no design. Design reason for baby Pokemon. But that is like the problem is that Pokemon like Scyther are supposed to you're supposed to experience them at level 50.
That's true. Yep. All right. Well, that about does it for us this week. If you want special announcement time, we are going live. This show is going live next week. And so if you want to catch the show, you will catch us Wednesday mornings at 11 Central time. So that's 12 Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific. Live on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/comicbook. So if you want to get involved, we hope to see you there. You can ask us questions. This will be a time, moving forward. Like, if you want to start asking us questions and get more involved in the show, this is definitely how. Otherwise, the audio version of the show will still be available every Thursday morning. So if you want to get ahead of the curve, you can catch us on Wednesday. Otherwise, this Pokemon podcast can be found every Thursday morning, wherever podcasts can be found. If you want to get involved and chat with us on Twitter, you can find me at Jim Biscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I'm at C Hoffer CBus.
And if you want to just like talk to the show and see who answers, at Pokemon Pod CB is definitely the place to go. So follow
us
there. The
Russian roulette to get, of us. Yeah. You don't know who you'll get.
All of our Pokemon news, you know, comes from there, which is great. And we're going to look to do a few more things to have more fun with you guys there. Love everyone getting involved in the show. Love everyone reaching out, telling us, you know, like there are folks binging this show. And good Lord, I cannot be more thankful for that, because that is a lot of hours of Pokemon show. So
approximately 83 hours.
Yeah,
roughly. It's just a lot of our voice.
So thank you everyone who decides to, like, if this is your first show and you're like, man, I want to see what else they talk about. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is really fantastic. And if you want to, you know, if you can, you can always leave us a review on iTunes, 5 stars. If we read it on the air, we'll send you a t-shirt when we're back in the office. So that about does it for us today. We hope to see you on Twitch live next week. We will remind the heck out of you every day until then. So please do see us there. It helps if we have an audience to talk to. All right, folks, we'll catch you next week.